I would also like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Jesus. I guess I want to begin this morning by thanking you for your prayers. Many of you showed care, and I just really want to thank you for that this morning. I've titled my message this morning, What's Your Choice? About 2 weeks ago, I had a message prepared to share, and then it ended up we didn't have service because of slippery roads. But when we have circumstances in life, sometimes our message changes. So this morning my message has changed. What's your choice? Many of you know the story of the young man who left home. He lived life how he desired for a while. And there's a couple of different versions to this story. He left home, and it ended up he was in jail. This has been many, many years ago. They came in and they told him that you are going to be released soon. So he quick wrote a letter home. And in this letter, he told his parents, he said, I'm coming home. If you're willing to accept me at home, I'd like for you to tie a yellow ribbon in the apple tree that's right next to the train track on our farm. He was released. He went out and he got on the train. He headed home. And as he got close, he talked to the conductor. He told the conductor, I can't look. Would you look for me? He explained the story. He said, would you look for me? As it got closer, the conductor told him, you need to look. He opened his eyes and the tree was covered with yellow ribbons. He had made some choices that took him down the wrong path. He made some choices, a choice to come back again to his family. Mom and Dad made a choice. Will we take him in or will we not take him in? I want to tell you about a choice that Jesus made, that God made. If we look in Ephesians 1 verse 4, we're not going to turn there, but Ephesians 1, 4, it talks about a choice that God made before the earth, before the foundation. He chose you and I before the foundation was even there. He chose us. And now the page is turned. And he said, I want you to choose me. He gave us free will. I want you to choose me. I've chosen you, but it's up to you. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about choices. Now I have this picture up front here. The one on the left there, it says, what's your choice? The one on the left shows me as king. I've got that little crown there. I am in charge. I love what I'm doing. I love the money, but I love a whole bunch of other things too. And it's my choice whether I'm going to do that with life or it's my choice to go to the other side. We see a heart there. And I want us to think of that as the Father's heart. It's always there. There's always love. There's also a cross. He went to the cross for us, but he also tells us we are to take up our cross. So there's a choice there. You know, many of us like to, I wish I'd had one of those scales here that you can set down, and the scale has two arms with a little basket in it. Many of us like to take that scales and we're going to do some good things on this side. Over here, we're still living in sin. But if I do enough good, the scales is going to balance, right? No. There's no scales. It's either one or the other. The choice is mine. The choice is yours. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We make choices every day. You chose this morning whether you wanted to be here. Moms, you choose what you put in your children's lunch for school. Guys, we choose, do we want to wear the red shirt? Do we want to wear the green shirt to go to work? We make choices, choices that really don't matter. But then there's choices that really do matter. What am I going to do when the Holy Spirit speaks to me? By the way, are you okay that we ask the Spirit to be here this morning? I prayed this morning that God would be here and the Spirit would be here. And I hope that's your prayer. But I want to tell you something. If the Spirit is here this morning, there's going to be some things happening within us. Maybe your heart's going to start beating really, really fast because there's something the Spirit wants you to change. Maybe there's a peace that comes over you because you've made the choice to walk with God and you're living with Him in relationship. Adam and Eve made some choices. Genesis chapter 2. The seventh day was here. This actually goes back to the sixth day when man was created. But we're going to begin in chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the ground. Of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. I love this where it talks about God actually planted a garden and he put man into the garden. He wanted man to be where it was beautiful. He created that for man. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight. It was a beautiful place. Eden actually talks about means paradise is one of the meanings. Every tree that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So there's two trees there he specifically mentions. And then he talks about a river that went out. We'll go to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But, verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. God gave them choice. He said, here we have all the beauty. But there's two trees here. This specific tree you are not to eat of. And then we go over to where God created the woman. He brought the woman to the man. There was the first marriage. Then we get to chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? That, to start with, is something to look out for. Hath God said? We begin to question. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now we're going to move on ahead a little bit. We know that Eve took of the fruit, gave to Adam, and they both ate. And they realized all of a sudden, when Jesus or God came back to walk with them, something wasn't right. All of a sudden they realized they were naked and they went and they hid themselves. Let's go to verse 22 in chapter 3. They sinned. They took of the tree they shouldn't have taken from. And in verse 22 it says this, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth, man, from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So now God said, okay, you have to leave. You can no longer be in here in your sin and eat of the tree of life. So I'm going to drive you out. I'm going to send you out. There's something put in place that you cannot come back in. So what happened here? We were removed from the tree of life. There had to be a price paid for us to be able to again come back and partake of the tree of life. Adam and Eve were sowing and reaping. I want us to think about this for a bit this morning. There were a lot of things that happened in Adam and Eve's life because of this choice that they made. And we're going to come back to the tree of life here in a bit. But a lot of things that happened because of this choice. For Adam, it was toil. It was work. It was sweat to make a living. No longer was everything there for him just to enjoy. He had to work. For Eve, it was childbearing. Pain in childbirth. repercussions for choices made. It's a common teaching today that it doesn't matter what choice I make. God's grace is so big, it's okay. As long as I name Him, I can live as I want to. That's a false doctrine. It's not something that we believe. God is merciful, but we are to walk with Him. There's two types of sowing that we want to look at today, and there's two types of reaping. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Actually, I'd like for you to turn to Galatians 6:7. We're going to begin reading a couple of verses out of Galatians 6. And while you're turning there, I'll read this other verse that I have that says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." This is the context of giving financially. It's just a simple, simple way to look at it. If we give, God provides. We can never outgive Him. If we give, He provides. If we give bountifully, we'll reap bountifully. But if we decide to give sparingly, that's what we're going to get in return. It's a law. Sowing and reaping is a law that we cannot change. Some of us think that it doesn't matter. Does it? Yes, it does matter. It's a law that we cannot change. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Now, I gave you those papers this morning. You received those papers for our small group study. The scripture that's on there, I'm not going to use this morning. That is for you to go home and study and to try to understand what it is to sow to the flesh or to live in the Spirit. We're not going to dig into that too deep this morning. And then there's some questions on there. But it says here not to be deceived, because God isn't mocked. Because what we sow, we reap. You farmers understand this very clearly. Actually, if you go back and you look at the parables in Scripture, many of the parables have to do with agriculture. Why? Because that's what they understood in those days. We understand it also. When we put a seed in the ground, it grows. And normally there's not only one seed that comes back. How many come back? Many. So we can look at this in two different ways. We can look at it in a negative sense, or we can look at it in a positive sense. If we decide to sow to the flesh, that is enmity, covetousness, selfishness, stuff that's in my heart, I'm going to reap a huge harvest. Is that the kind of harvest we want to reap? No. We really don't if we think about it. I like the idea that if I sow to the flesh, I get a tiny harvest. Doesn't work that way. You get a harvest just like you do when you sow to the Spirit. If I sow to the flesh, what will I reap? Death. If this is the condition of my heart, when my physical body dies, I will reap death. What is this death? It's an eternal hell. The lake of fire. So it doesn't matter if I'm a member of a specific church. It doesn't matter if my church has a standard that says you got to wear this, you got to wear that. It doesn't matter if I miss coming to the services when the doors are open. What really matters is what's here. And when this is in line, some of those other things are also going to come in line. I guess I'm saying that because of something that I've been watching, not specifically just here, but in many of our churches. We fit in. I'm going to do whatever it takes to fit in, so I look like I am good. But inside my heart, there's filth. I debated whether I'm going to share this or not, but I am. This week, I saw a young man that was dressed in a way that we would call very plain, very modest. And please, I'm not pointing. Yes, he was Amish. I'm not pointing at Amish people. We have an Amish one here this morning. I'm not pointing at Amish people. We do the same thing. I walked into a store and I walked up between two men. The one man on one side began to talk to me about something that happened in his life with his back. The one in front of me began talking about something that happened to him, and he also had back problems. The one guy was hit by a drunk driver, and he said, "I'm not really a saint." But this drunk driver barely got anything as far as what the law could do to him. In front of that was the young man with a big carton of beer. That was supposed to be a testimony. Last night I went to Meijer to again purchase something. And here I believe was the same young man with his wife. What was he doing? He was walking up to the beer again, checking prices. How much of a dishonor am I to God when I go to work, I wear t-shirts with things on it about God? I wear t-shirts that talk about faith. How much of a dishonor am I doing to God, when I let a curse word fly and I have this on here? How much of a dishonor am I to God when I profess Christianity, but I'm not willing to stand up to what Scripture teaches? Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's easy to hide people. No, it can't be that way. We can't hide. We are sowing to the flesh, or we're sowing to the Spirit. So we know that sowing to the flesh is going to reap eternal damnation. Sowing to the Spirit. A life lived for the sake and honor of the one we serve, Jesus Christ. We walk in unison with Him. It's not a matter of trying harder, but it's a matter of submission. More and more submitting to what He desires in my life, seeking Him, and all of a sudden we have a relationship that's happening. And in this relationship, it produces worship. And it produces a closeness with Him here. Yeah, Dana mentioned that this week, we buried my dad. So I was with Dad in his last minutes. We'd ask him, "Dad, would you like us to take the oxygen off so you can go to heaven?" Dad couldn't talk anymore, but he was able to get out an uh-huh. So we began to reduce his oxygen. It changed his breathing. I was with him all night. He would breathe about 5 or 6 times a minute. Very deep, hard breathing. We spent time around his bed praying over him, reading Scripture to him. My brother had asked Dad earlier, "Dad, are you at peace?" "Yes." "How can I stand here and talk about my dad dying and I'm not weeping and crying because of this fact?" My dad was prepared to go. He had made the choice that I'm going to serve my Savior. And when He calls me home, I know where I'm going. So I have to ask you this morning, do you know where it's at? One day you're also going to be on that deathbed if the Lord doesn't return before then. You're going to take your last breath, so am I. Do I have the confidence that I know where I'm going? It's a choice I make. It's a choice I make now. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." So there's a wages for sin. We get paid, but it's death. But there's also a gift that's given, and that gift is eternal life. If I come to you and I give you a box that's wrapped really nicely and I give it to you as a gift, did you earn it? No. Did you pay for it? No. Someone else did. That is how it is with us. He gives us eternal life. And He hands it to us as a gift. But we got to choose it. Remember, He chose us a long time ago. But we have to choose that gift. Jeffrey, can you go to the next slide, please? Oh, you're there already. Thank you. I took this picture in the same cemetery my dad's buried. You know, there comes a place where self has to die. Many of us that like to keep living life, but we don't want self to die. Because if self dies, I don't have control anymore. It's not about control, friends. But it's about a close relationship with our Father, Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn to Revelation 22. I began at the beginning of the Bible. We're going to the end. Adam and Eve made some choices way at the beginning. They were removed from the garden. They were removed from this tree, the tree of life. Revelation 22:14 says this: Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to what? The tree of life. That they may have right to the tree of life, may enter in through the gates into the city. Now let's go back and let's begin reading in the beginning of Revelation chapter 22. And let's look a little bit at what John was seeing here. Verse 20, chapter 22, verse 1 says, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now, I'm not exactly sure how to look at this. I'll be honest with you. The tree of life seems like that can be part of it. We begin now because we have eternal life. But I believe there's a step that we're going to take, that we will be able to literally be there with the tree of life. See, when my dad died, he didn't lay in that bed and that's it. But at the second where he took his last breath, he stepped on into the next life. He left the life of death and stepped into the life of eternal life. For there is never any more death. Verse 3, And there shall be no more curse. Remember, there was a curse at the beginning. Curse is gone, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face. Who's the they? If we go back just a little bit, I'll tell you who the they is. In chapter 21, verse 3, it says, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Then we go to verse 6. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Those who are thirsty, those that want it, those are the they. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. The overcomers are the they. Am I part of the they? And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Then verse 7, Jesus says, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brother and the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That's a little bit different than Daniel says. Daniel says, in the prophecy that he says, seal up. The time's not yet. Now John here, he's getting from whoever's speaking to him here, don't seal it, because it's happening. It's going to start taking place. Seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. Verse 11, we need to pay attention to. At the time that this happens, there is no time to go back and say, I want to change something. Verse 11 says this. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Those are blessed, those that enter in. What's on the outside? For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And I want us to look at verse 17, because he's given an invitation to each one of us. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. That's to all of us. Come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Draw close to me. Choose today. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That opens it to everybody. Whosoever will. It's not just for certain people. It's whosoever will. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophets of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now he makes us a promise in verse 20. He which testified these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. And then he ends with a benediction there that says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So we have the opportunity to choose. And I'm not going to be fair today if I don't give you an opportunity. Don Zook is going to be laying up here this week sometime. I'm not here to scare you into the kingdom. But I want us to think about the fact that we're missing out if we're not walking with Christ today. He's got so much for us. We worship him here. And as we step across, when we come to the place of death, we have no fear. The last enemy is death. He's there for us. But I have to ask this morning, what's my choice been so far? What have I chosen? Have I chosen to walk with him? Have I at this point chosen to do my own thing? I'd like for you to stand this morning. I'm going to give you an opportunity this morning. If there's something that's still in your life that you know is going to keep you from stepping across into eternity with the Father, the altar this morning is open for you. I don't know your life. You know your life. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's when your heart begins to race. It's when I'm uncomfortable. No, walking up here this morning is not going to solve any issues unless you come up in faith asking God to take away what is making you uncomfortable and to give you peace. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to God. There's an opportunity this morning to come up here and pray and receive him as your Savior. I've asked Aaron to lead us in, I believe it's 4:20, just the first verse, if you would, Aaron. Search me, O God. And if God's speaking to you, would you come? Have you given in to what He's asking of you? The opportunity is open. I'm going to ask Aaron to lead us in one more song. I'm going to lead in a word of prayer. And in closing, I'm going to ask Aaron to lead us another song. I believe the Spirit's still speaking. Aaron, could we sing that verse again? That song suggests that we can have freedom if we desire it. But it's a choice we make, isn't it? I'm just going to pray. And after prayer, if you would quietly just step out. Maybe spend your time outside these doors chatting with each other. If somebody wants to come up and pray with these up here, I'm sure they'd appreciate that. Let's pray. God, this morning, we ask for your presence here. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sending your Spirit. And Lord, I pray even as we leave here that your Spirit will continue to draw us close. Father, that no one leaves here this morning and comes to the place of meeting with eternity without knowing you. Lord, I pray that you would be gracious and merciful. Draw us, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for those who have gone before that have been faithful. Lord, we want to follow that. I pray for these that are here this morning that have answered your call. I pray, Lord, that you would bring them complete freedom. We bless you, Lord. We love you so much. You are so good. Guide us this week. We will look to you for our guidance and strength. We bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.